Well, I sensed you've gathered maybe the theme today, to God be the glory. A very prominent book that I suspect many of you have read, Purpose Driven Life by Warren, starts off, it's not about you. What a great statement. I wish he'd stopped right there. Because the idea of whose glory, and as Scott just played, a symphony of praise, all creation declares God's glory. That's Psalm 19. That's what we call general revelation. God's creation, when Jesus, the triumphal entry, the rocks and stones will cry out God's glory. Well, we live in a culture that, of course, doesn't get that. Especially we're postmodern, whatever we are. We've talked about this, that just the way you turn on the TV and you see a radical going to the very core of skeptical about truth and texts and, you know, whether it's Constitution or Bible or anything, autonomy. We all want to be autonomous. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Relative. All truth is relative to me. Once again, it centers around me and my glory. Morality, who are you to tell me what I can do or can't do? Plurality at the religious level. Hey, if that Christian stuff works for you, that's nice, but all religions lead the same place. Folks, that's culture. We expect that. Romans, Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And there'll be a lot of text here that I invite you to just jot down and look back up later. But the Bible is replete with speaking of God's glory. But Romans 1, verses 20 and 21, for the since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Folks, that's culture. We should expect that when we understand the nature of sin. But what about in the church? Sometimes we maybe don't quite get that. Oh yeah, God, his glory, Jesus, we give him a prominence, but not the preeminence. A lot of popular Christian books, like I said, that are written, that tend to revolve around man-centeredness, solipsism, the view that nothing but I exist, very subjective, what makes me happy, what I can do. Oh yeah, in the church, hopefully this popular Christian literature is less radical than the radical skepticism and things of postmodernism. But folks, we should know better in the church. Abraham Kuyper used to be prime minister of the Netherlands way back when. He was a minister from the Reformed tradition, but he has a quote that I like. Oh, no single piece of our mental world is to be hermetically sealed off, so you can't isolate it, hermetically sealed off from the rest. And there is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. A little perspective. So what is our purpose? Well, according to biblical theology, the Bible, what is the Bible? What's the big picture? I would submit that, like the call to worship, Isaiah, just one verse, and I didn't go through the context and all that, but Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. So that big picture, it's about God and his glory, not just us and our salvation. We'll talk about all that's related, but it's not about us. It's about God. And we lose sight of theology proper. Who is God? Like Isaiah saw, holy, holy, holy. And we can't do anything but fall down in worship in his presence. So what is our purpose? Well, I submit, and I dare anyone to refute this, it's to bring God glory. Historical theology, our backgrounds, all talk about this. How many of you have Roman Catholic backgrounds? Okay. And I'm sure you could recite all these. I won't ask you to do it, but out loud now, the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. Sherry, you ready for this? But the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the ultimate purpose of creation is that God, who is the creator of all things, may at last become all in all, thus simultaneously assuring his own glory and our beatitude, our thankfulness. Okay, the new, any Baptists? Baptists, raise your hand. Back row, they're all in the back row. I see that hand back there. But the New Hampshire Baptist Confession of Faith and the Baptist Faith and Message, of God's purpose of grace, it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness. Any Lutherans? Lutheran, yes, I see that hand, young lady, right over there. But the Concordia, they, talking about the godly, will act so that nothing may be lacking in them, even to the greatest effort by which God's glory and the common welfare may be promoted in both temporal and eternal things. Any Methodists, Nazarenes? All right, I see you. The great John Wesley. God will certainly do what will be most for his own glory. The scripture frequently speaks of the glory of God, meaning thereby the manifestation of his essential glory, of his eternal power and Godhead, and of all his glorious attributes, more especially his justice, mercy, and truth. And it is in this sense alone that the glory of God is said to be advanced by man. Can I get an amen from the Nazarenes and the Methodists? A lot of glory in that statement from Wesley. I love it. Any Episcopalian Anglican backgrounds? That's right, young lady right over here. The Book of Common Prayer. Ordain and publish such further ceremonies or rites, the Book of Common Prayer, as may be most for the advancement of God's glory, the edifying of his church and of the due reverence of Christ's holy mysteries and sacraments. And any Presbyterians, Reformed Church, Reformed, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Anybody here from the Community Fellowship of Christians? The mission and purpose in that august body, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, the purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto, gotta love the lawyerese, in support of the cause of Jesus Christ, his glory. And then in the mission purpose statement, we are going to honor God through our worship, praise, and prayer. Honoring God, bringing glory to God. Folks, it's in our Constitution. Now at the federal level, maybe we don't follow our Constitution in this country, but in this church, we're going to follow our Constitution, at least when it comes to the mission and purpose. And on the sign, if you noticed, you've seen that before, AMDG. That's the Jesuit symbol. A Jesuit priest friend of mine is down actually teaching at the Air Force Academy right now, reserve chaplain, just got promoted to colonel. So he's a full 06 chaplain, which is rare. But AMDG, Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam, to the greater glory of God. A lot of times at the bottom, at the end of messages or papers or things that I'll send out or on when we handed out bulletins, you always saw Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. So folks, this is the church's recognized, if you will, the big picture of all this. And especially here at CFC, and if nothing else, so you know where this knucklehead is coming from, the theology, the umbrella, ultimately under which we do everything, and I'm going to do everything, the umbrella is going to be God's glory. So in the Why and How book, most of you have copies of that. We handed those out. We might need to do a reprint. We have enough new faces. But the why, the Constitution, how we do it, when you hear me talk about MSA, meaning, significance, application, well, it glorifies God for us to try to find out what he meant in his word and not tell him what we think he meant, meaning, significance, the principle, and applying it to our lives so that we are living lives the way God wants us to according to his word. So that's MSA, the three points of theology. You get that one an awful lot, don't you? Sin is worse than we think it is. Recognizing who we are, like Isaiah, in front of the glorious presence, the Shekinah glory of God, falling down, in worship, woe is me, recognizing how bad our sin is, but then appreciating how big God's grace is to sin, to save sinners. All this brings him glory. And then, of course, it's all about Jesus, living for Jesus. So even those little bumper sticker things that you seem to get an awful lot, I hope you understand, are subsumed underneath the umbrella of God's glory. And so the thesis today, that I once again dare anyone to refute, every aspect of our lives should be for God's glory. I hope you understand that. Now, what does that look like? Well, it starts off with our salvation. Obviously, that's, I read Ephesians chapter 1 there, and that series, the message, the overall theme, I believe, of Ephesians is unity in Christ. And that threefold praise to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our triune God, who worked out, accomplished our salvation, and that great blessing that brings God glory. That blessing in our lives ought to determine our behavior. And so Ephesians is very practical, who we are in Christ and then what that should look like in our lives. And so our very salvation. You know, I like history. The Protestant Reformation, we always will have Reformation Sunday. And you've probably heard of the, in fact, Dunham messages. I think this is actually, sometimes I try to do a little tie-in, that we did a whole sermon on this topic, but the five solas, sola mean alone, sola scriptura, God's word, scripture alone. That was the formal principle that drove the Protestant Reformation, getting back to scripture, the authoritative source. Sola gratia, grace alone. Folks, that grace, when we understand how big God's grace is, you know, that's Pastor Deer's point number two, right? Grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. That was the main principle. They called it the material principle of the Reformation, the core issue of the Reformation. Where does our righteousness come from? Not from us, it's not about us, but Christ's righteousness reckoned, accounted to us by grace through faith. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about the gospel. What is the good news? The gospel. And then solus Christus, Christ alone. Folks, there is no other way. If you think there is, you need to examine your faith. There is no other way. Don't add to Christ. We don't just talk about Jesus prominently, folks. He needs to be preeminent in everything we do, not just on Sunday morning for, you know, half an hour or so. So, our salvation, do we understand that? But then what about in our lives beyond just, okay, we're saved, good, I'm going to heaven, now I can do whatever? No. Folks, this ought to affect our lives, like the message of Ephesians. Blessing, how big that blessing is for God's glory, ought to be result in our lives, once again, for His glory. So a few texts, once again, just going to read some scripture. 1 Peter 4. Verses 7 through 11, but I won't read all that. But he finishes up, that in all things, Peter, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All things. That's a pretty broad statement. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 9. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles, so both Jew and Gentile, might glorify God for his mercy. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So some lofty scripture, but just to show that God's word, I believe, this is the overall umbrella that God's word, his word, is helps us with the relevance of our daily lives. But we have to obviously keep things in perspective. So how do we glorify God? Well, if you were in the adult Bible study this morning, Dr. Reed was talking about the church militant. Those of us, the church here, so the actions that have been part of church history throughout generations, all aspects. When we as a church body serve our community, serve one another, serve missionaries around the world, that's all part of it. And so how do we glorify God? Well, with our salvation. We've already talked about that. Because Romans 3:23, we know that verse most of us know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's sin. And so our salvation, that's how big our salvation is, with our salvation. Well, with our thanksgiving, are you thankful? Do you thank God for his glory, not for just giving you the stuff you want? Psalm 50, verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, praise, thanksgiving. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. With our faith glorifies God. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God, talking about Abraham, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Faith. With our prayer, when you pray, once again, is it for God's glory or for our glory? Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. With our dependence, you know, we're Coloradans, you know, the Western ideal, very individualistic, which goes to the church. Dr. Reed was talking about that we lose the corporate nature of the church because it's me and Jesus and I don't care about the rest of you, but our dependence on God. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And so recognizing that ultimate source, that ultimate security in all the trials and tribulations of the world, turn on the news. And then obviously the summary with our entire being. Matthew 22, verse 37, what is the great commandment? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then Mark adds, with all your strength. And so our entire being is there to bring, love God and glorify him, because he is most glorified when he has our heart, not just our obedience. See, sometimes we tend to think of, I'm just going to try harder. Well, when our heart, when God has captured our heart, our obedience will follow. That was the Westminster Confession, the Reformed. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are doing it out of gratitude for him. Think about our anniversaries. You do remember when your anniversary is, right? It glorifies God to remember your anniversary. But is your anniversary just a duty? You know, it's just a duty. Well, okay, if I ever stop loving you, I'll let you know. Until then, just assume I love you. You know, that's just sort of almost a dishonor, as opposed to the joy of an anniversary, honoring your spouse, because nothing makes me happier tonight than to be with you. You know, that's honorable and glorifying, as opposed to, okay, here's your flowers. Thanks, you know, see you next year. As the great St. Augustine said, love God and do as you please. In other words, when God has our hearts, what pleases us is going to please him. And so we glorify God when he has our heart, and obviously with all of our life. In church history, there were these holy men that were greatly looked up to that would go out into the middle of the desert, or monastic orders, the Benedictine, the Franciscan monks, where they would cloister themselves and be separate from the world in their own little cocoon, sometimes in the church. On Sunday, we're here to glorify God. But what about Monday through Saturday? And so we can isolate ourselves all of our lives, folks. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As we sang, and crown Him Lord of all. So our lives, things like, you know, anybody know what this Wednesday is? Got pushed back 90 days? It's tax day. So even things like politics, I mean, and I didn't realize that there's an election this year. I didn't know that. But, and we'll probably talk a little bit more, or just a refresher on how we vote, folks. Is it about God's glory or our glory? COVID-19, our worldview, and how we look at things like this. Folks, this every aspect of our lives need to be subsumed as God's children, subsumed ultimately for the glory of God. Think of the songs. Once again, Dennis picked out some great ones. Thou art worthy. Not talking about you or me, talking about God. Holy, holy, holy. To God be the glory. What a great name for a sermon. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And so every aspect of our lives should be for God's glory. And folks, and when we understand that, that's who we are as God's people. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So even when we are serving, doing good works, the result of who we are, it's for His glory, not so that the world can see how much better we are than the church down the road. Is that what you said, Dr. Reed? So there's a church down the road that's a bunch of troublemakers. That no, the body of Christ, we are here to bring God's glory through how we live our lives. And then Paul, great, if you will, doxology, Romans 11:36, the end of a very important section. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. To the glory of God alone, one of those solas. Folks, I hope we can catch a vision of that in our lives, in a church family, and it's a privilege, I think, to be part of this church family. But that's what we're going to be about, and as long as I'm the pastor, I'm going to do my best for my part. I'll fall short, but this is who we need to be for God's glory alone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word and just so many reminders of what our purpose in life is for. And so everything else, Lord, help us to put them in their proper priority so that not only do we have the big picture, but the details in our daily lives to bring You honor and glory so that the world that is in darkness will see You in community fellowship of Christians and be drawn to the warmth of the fellowship and the fire of being in Christ for Your glory. Amen.